Good afternoon and welcome to the EcoNews Report, a production of the North Coast Environmental Center in conjunction with KHSU, located on the campus of Humboldt State University. I'm Raina Nanayel, your host for the EcoNews Report. I am Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center, and our guest today is John Shelter with the North Coast Resource Center. He's Executive Director there. He'll be speaking with us today about coastal cleanup, homelessness, and some of the social problems that are tied to environmental issues. Thank you, John, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You recently participated in coastal cleanup at the Palco Marsh area, and you had a pretty decent turnout. Why did you choose that area?
Well, this is an area that we've been working in with the city of Eureka and law enforcement to work in that area behind the Bayshore Mall to eradicate all the trash that was back there and to work with the homeless population and try to give them some positive redirection.
So we do have a small homeless encampment back there, and your organization, the North Coast Resource Center, has been doing some pretty extraordinary outreach to that encampment.
We started on this project about a year and a half ago when we were still in a demonstration project from the State Coastal Conservancy. We actually started off with 163 camps. So if you say there was just a few, I'm going to kind of laugh. There was 163. Give and take, there's a fluctuation from day to day, but we started working in that area in levels of trash that had probably been there for 3 to 4 years. So it really had a great interest because I've always been environmentally conscious, and really I've seen what the homelessness and poverty were actually creating in these environmentally sensitive areas.
What kinds of unexpected help did you have there on Saturday?
Saturday, I was coordinating Day of Caring and the environmental coastal cleanup. The thing is that the homeless population I've been working with, I've been really pushing on them, saying it's about time we show our community who we are, that we want to help. The unexpected help was the individuals came out of the weeds. They came out from behind their tents, and they actually showed their face in a joint effort to show our community support.
Excellent. And I know we had talked a little bit about signs that you had found that they had put up to show their support of coastal cleanup. Would you like to read something from
that? I'd love to read this one. I've already given one to the city management and law enforcement and everybody. And actually, West Chesbrough's office has one. We showed up Friday to kind of let people know what was happening on Saturday, just to keep reminding them. And all around the marsh, there was these John Shelter is asking all campers to help volunteers from the community pick up trash. Between 9 a.m. and 12 on Saturday, September 17th, we will meet at 8:30 in back lot near the dumpster and with a spaghetti feed to follow afterwards. And the best part of all that brought tears in my eyes is John is counting on us. Let's make him proud. See you on Saturday. And it's signed by a few of the individuals that are out there that we've been working with. When you see that and them trying to get the word out and through that population, it wasn't about making me proud, because I was proud that the fact that they even wrote these signs, whether any of them showed up, but we did get them.
What kind of response did you get or have you been getting from the community with regard to your work with the homeless encampments and environmental work?
Well, I think Palco Marsh has actually been our flagship. People are now walking through that area. We see little ladies walking their puppies again. Bicycle riders, not just the homeless, but regular bicycle riders are going through that area. It's really been wonderful to see how everybody has been collaborating together. Law enforcement is working with us and the homeless. The city management understands our processes and are very supportive. And actually, we're under the contract to the city of Eureka to actually take care of this area. And they actually pull on us for information like, hey, John, you know, we got this issue over there. Would you mind checking it out? If you look at how the community has been evolved around us, we go before City Council of Eureka and it's a unanimous vote when they came to giving us money to actually go forward with this. To me, that's a great honor. It means that we're making an impact where probably nobody has in the past.
And this is just part of what your organization does to help activate and integrate our homeless residents at the North Coast Resource Center. Do you want to tell me a little bit about the other programs that you have going on?
Yes. 5 years ago, I created a program called Back to Basics, and working with the staff and the board of directors, we implemented some new programs, programs I had been working on for years. Back to Basics is our Learned Behavior Employment Readiness Program. It provides an opportunity for people that are on the street to do something else besides sit around, or what I call be fixed. They don't want to go to agencies where people are going to fix them or try to get in their heads. Most of the individuals I work with are skilled laborers. They've lost their jobs for one reason or another, and then they come to us and basically are lost. So what we've done is opened up our service and said, well, how about the barter system? Nobody wants to fund us. If we want to stay open, you guys have to help. So each and every day, we get 20 to 25 volunteers to come in that provide services. That's through our Back to Basics program. But then we started getting so many volunteers that we had to create another program. And since we were getting blamed because we feed people, we decided, hey, let's look at these impacts in our marsh and forest. If we're going to get blamed for people up there, let's find out who these people are and what reasons they are up here for us. Once again, in 2007, I started this whole idea with two other homeless people. We spent many evenings going up to Redwood Park, into the marsh, and actually talking to the people that were out there. And we created a program called New Directions, a program that's copyrighted now by the North Coast Resource Center and myself, a program that's actually going out and helping those individuals that didn't necessarily knew about our services or didn't trust. We get to bring our services out to them. Along with our hunger relief efforts, we do community meals 2 days a week. But we've also learned how to share our facility with the low-income housed community by providing food box distribution 4 days a week. Every day we're open, people from the street have an opportunity to come in and volunteer for us. They get 3 meals a day, shower, laundry. It's almost like they're home. And there they start feeling like family again, even if they didn't have family. The biggest part is we build the people up from the inside, and that transitions to the outside.
And I was there today. The place was a bustling, and there were some very courteous and professional people saying, have you been helped yet? It was wonderful.
We're more known now for we used to be our hard work, but now the last couple events we did is our customer service.
Exactly.
That means a lot to me.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. I've also attended a few Sisters of a Perpetual Indulgence breast cancer awareness events, and your teams have been out there. I thought that was one of the most extraordinary things, is actually organizing homeless residents to work for NGOs or for the city or for the state or for federal organizations and things like that, to actually give them a sense of ownership in meaningful work, meaningful and necessary work.
The best part about that, Rain, is it puts them in position where business owners and other people get to see them. We've lost some of our best volunteers are now working for the Harbor District, are now working for major entities, getting a lot more money than I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. So as ecologists, one of the things that we struggle with is trying to change people's attitudes toward the environment. And it's no different when we look at trying to change people's attitudes toward homelessness or class distinction. We want people to recognize that every species should be encouraged and respected in their own evolutionary trajectory. The same could be said for people in the decisions that they make. And we also need to remember that here in Humboldt County, Del Norte, Trinity, Mendocino, we're looking at unemployment rates and poverty levels that are far and away higher than the U.S. average and the state of California's average. In the U.S., we've got a 12.4% poverty index. As of per the 2000 studies, it's probably much higher than that now. State of California was 14.2%. Comparatively, Del Norte was at 20.2%. And Humboldt County was at 19.5%. That's extraordinarily higher. So this is a lot of this contributing to some of the other main causes of homelessness. Obviously, you know, we hear a lot about drug addiction and maybe mental illness, relationships breaking up, people having no support system. But there are so many reasons, especially now, the economic situation. Anyone could find themselves in this situation. So why even talk about the things that are causing homelessness? Let's talk about the solutions to deal with it.
Yeah. There's many different reasons, Rain, and a lot of it is stop the looking at why became homelessness until you get to know who the people are. You know, that's one thing we never gave them a chance, is we've always created soup kitchens where they're funneled through one door and out the other door. We never figured out how to keep them there so we can learn out who they are and what they actually needed to move forward. That's a big part that we missed there. We believed that we were doing a great thing by just providing a meal. We need to do more than just provide a meal.
I know you're out there talking to people quite often. What's the primary argument you hear for not including the resident homeless? Do you hear things like they choose to be homeless, they're on drugs? What are some of the things that you say to these?
Well, that's actually true. You know, there's a myth out there that everybody out there wants to be out there. Well, the truth is that working a year and a half, I found very few people in the Palco Marsh that said they wanted to be there. Most of them were looking for that opportunity, but because of the medical condition, because of their illnesses, they were kicked out or they weren't able to follow through. you know, part of the New Directions program is we actually pick them up and take them to appointments, and we actually get their foot in the door. I do not like dead-end referrals, so we'll use my cell phone and we'll call up people and say, do you have an opening today? And then go back and help them. There's many different reasons, and we have to stop really looking at those reasons and start going, these are residents, these are non-residents, and create a regionalized plan to actually engage the resident homeless. There's enough of them. And actually ask them to help us with the services. It reduces our costs and it makes the services better. If you have the homeless inside running the services, you don't have anybody trying to fix anybody. It's more peer mentoring. Mm-hmm. It's all the wonderful things that we taught with our children and we kind of got away with because you're homeless. I need to fix you because you're bothering me. And the truth is that these guys don't really want to bother. Now, there are some. There's many more people in housing that are much more hideous than people out on the street. It's the reason because these people are out there exposed that you see every little thing that they do. We think mental illness is really predominantly rampant in the homeless population, but it's because you see it because it's not hidden. There's much more mental illness inside housing. There's much more addiction inside of housing where it's hidden. Mm-hmm. Child molestation. Everything that you can say about the homeless population is tenfold in housing. But because we see it more, we believe it more exists. The truth is that there are outside agencies that are currently doing street outreach also like we do. But they're confined to, I can only work with street outreach if they're mentally ill. I can only work with street outreach if they have a major substance abuse. There's many more people out there that are just lost. And there's nobody to serve them. That's where I think the New Directions program that North Coast Resource Center created is one of those monumental programs that engulfs all of it. And we're willing to deal with it one person at a time.
And you talked about how difficult it must be, for example, for a homeless person to go into job training at the job market when they haven't had a shower or when they've been so disconnected or invisible. And, you know, we ask or expect them to just walk in and go to this classroom setting with people who have homes and have showers and sit there and kind of bootstrap themselves and just how unnatural they would feel in that environment or how difficult that would be for them to actually do that. So, you know, the idea of calling and making appointments, you know, rather than waiting for somebody to go in. And what was the phrase that you used when people are?
System scared.
System scared.
That's why this program is so valuable. These individuals that we're addressing in the marsh and forest don't come into services. They don't even go to free meal in Eureka, which is St. Vincent's, which is very non-confrontation. You just go in one door, you get your meal, and you go out the other door, and you can do whatever. But they don't even go to that. They isolated. They're remote. Most of them, it's like a third world country. But you can see the difference with the people that we've worked with, and we've transitioned to areas that we're under control with. Their areas are clean. There's no campfires. There's no alcohol bottles. Now, do they drink? You know, I don't know. But when I'm there, they're not. And that, to me, is a sign of respect. And therefore, we should show respect back. This is the place where they've been chased away from outside of our businesses, from our city streets, from maybe even your backyard. I don't know. But we've chased them to an area because it's out of sight, out of mind. Many years ago, when I started this profession, we had the thing called the South Jetty, that people that don't want progress to happen and things to happen for the homeless keep on going, we can't create a campground. Remember the South Jetty. Unfortunately, the South Jetty was very much like our marsh and forest today. We don't want people in our community, so we chase them out of sight, out of mind. Then we leave them there. When they get settled in, no bathrooms, no trash cans, no hope. What did you expect to happen?
And that's where we kind of dovetail the social and environmental issues. We've got a couple different things going on there. We're talking about class issues. This affects every citizen. Every citizen experiences a degree of class segregation or a degree of class kind of, we put your class in a box. This is your box. Mm-hmm. And we give you this many privileges for your class identity. We also have that kind of issue going on with homelessness and our inertia in dealing with it. But one of the really tragic things that we have, and this is directly related to environmental concerns, is the squandering of the human potential and human dignity. We're wasting an army of volunteers and skilled workers. We talked earlier about how many of these people are actually skilled workers, plumbers, carpenters. You know, I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but when men or women of a certain age reach 40 to 50, 55, and they can't get up there and do the roofing, they've got chronic back ailments from years of, you know, working. And I know we all know what the wages happened after the 80s, you know, got cut in half for a lot of these people. So they didn't pocket a lot of money. They worked their butts off for decades and then got laid off because of the housing debacle or whatnot. So we're talking about a whole army of very skilled workers, and we are squandering that army of workers when we desperately need them to address social problems, help us with environmental fixes for the community. And I've seen these people in action. They have the ability to perform customer service, to coordinate events with some guidance. They have the ability to go out and, you know, do cleanups, to, you know, do plantings of native plants, these kinds of things. Let's talk about another issue. We're also talking about tax dollars. You know, it's not as if the homeless issue or the unemployment issue does not cost us money. We're spending already a lot of tax dollars for creating services that really don't address the issues. We're spending a lot of money sending police out or through hospitals because we don't have coverage for these people. So it's not as if out of sight, out of mind is actually out of sight, out of mind. We are all still paying the price for not dealing with, in a proper way, homelessness. And then let's go back to the environmental impacts after that. But do you want to talk a little bit about the actual economic impacts?
Yeah, the economical impacts, going back to what you were just saying about our skilled laborers, you know, a good portion of the individuals we work with currently right now are late 30s to early 50s. These are our contractors. These are our carpenters and stuff that have lost their skills. There's no accident that we were able to go out Saturday and a 22-person crew, seven of those being community members, the rest being homeless, we were able to fill up two 20-yard dumpsters full of trash. That's a coordinated effort. Not one person got a scratch. Not one person got an accident, because these people are about their right wits. It's not about mental illness. It's not about that. And we tend to not want to do anything. But when you do that, health issues get worse. At our facility, we actually provide showers. We provide head lice medicine, scabies cream. Things would actually tie up our clinic, Open Door Clinic, who does a very good job working with our individuals. But it would tie up their door. And more critical stuff. So what we do is we've applied for grants and we are able to do that. Nutrition is another big thing. Diabetics, without the proper nutrition, and diabetes goes along a long ways in our homeless population because of lack of nutrition, lack of a good solid diet. Diabetes can form very fast. So, you know, we have to look at really what we're spending out. It's a lot easier to provide a building and provide a setting where individuals can come in and provide the services for the other low-income people.
Let's remind the listeners that your homeless, your resident homeless, are actually doing the work of running the day-to-day operations under your directions and under maybe, you know, some other people's direction. But it's extraordinary. You know, you've got them running this. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, building up a huge staff. It's not like we're talking about anything extraordinary in terms of funding compared to what's actually being spent right now to address homeless issues. It's the factor is probably like 1 to 100, maybe 1 to 1,000 of the actual cost, what you would need.
Our funding streams now, the state and federal government and even our local funders have actually pushed the envelope towards housing. Housing is a big thing, but housing takes a long time to build. And truthfully, what we need is shelter. That's going to reduce the amount of people that are sleeping outside. But we rely on a faith-based community, the Eureka Rescue Mission, to provide all the shelter for Humboldt County. That's kind of insane. And it's not cost-effective because we have a lot more law enforcement interaction in the middle of the night where, you know, we could think of things better. The city of Eureka calls us cost-effective. I don't care what they call us. They call us. That's the good part. And the good part is about being cost effective is we've reduced the leniency on law enforcement. We've reduced the pull on our public works department. We've allowed those individuals to do much better things inside their job scope, which I don't think their job scope was monitoring the homeless.
Right.
That's our job. We provide maintenance and monitoring for environmentally sensitive areas that poverty and homelessness have created a little bit of negative impacts.
And we are so used to the rhetoric of homelessness being a problem. Just to take things back a step to something a little bit more egalitarian, we have to remember that human worth and dignity, basic rights to education, food, healthcare, jobs, something that sounds akin to socialism, these kinds of things are still in the minds of people. I know that there are a lot of people out there who feel very helpless when they encounter the homeless, panhandlers, what have you. They don't feel as if that money they're giving them is really going to make that extra difference. What they would like to see is something structural. They'd like to see something in terms of there's got to be a way to get them off the street, to get them food, basic health care, this kind of stuff. That to them, I think if you asked the citizenry, they would want to fund something organized like that. And if not, then we have to take a good hard look at ourselves because, you know, access to those basic needs, food, we have an excess in this country. We have an excess of all of these things. It's not for lack of having it. It's lack of organization and prioritization and just allowing people through whatever loophole to become invisible, to become disenfranchised.
You know, as a homeless advocate, I would strongly recommend not giving that panhandler money. Because when you do that, you've pretty much helped him set up shop. Why is he going to find another place if you've given him that money? Instead, if you are a community member that's very invested in trying to help people, bring them down to our center. Show them how they can take care of themselves versus begging. You know, I really don't like begging. You won't see me beg. I've done many presentations. You know our agency needs money, but I've yet to ask the Board of Supervisors for money. They know we need money. I don't ask the cities for money. We work for what we get. And that's what we institute into our clients that come in. I call them clients, volunteer. More so, they become family. And we sometimes become the only family they have in existence. Everybody's died off. Remember, I told you, we deal with a lot older clientele than just these young kids, these young bucks that come through that I love too. They're some of our hardest working people when they find out, I mean, I can get what I need, just volunteer. So, you know, to understand, it's like, don't give that panhandler money. Give them information. We just got to get past the fear that homeless people are mean and awful people. Once we get past that, I think we can actually hold a conversation and look them eye to eye.
And just to wrap up on what we were talking about, there are some pretty significant environmental impacts associated with homelessness, especially if the encampments happen to be near waterways, you know. But a lot of those, this is by no means any kind of blame toward homelessness, because clearly it's a social failure. It's a social failure with regard to our community. But some of the issues are sanitation, garbage. We don't provide these encampments with any kind of proper way to dispose of garbage. So we have pollution, both on land and in the water. We have basic hygiene issues, which result in public health issues, water pollution, that kind of thing. So these are some of the impacts that we have in terms of environmental issues. And the North Coast Environmental Center, since 1978, has been organizing coastal cleanup or beach beautification. So we go out there every year, and the North Coast Resource Center goes out there every year. We try to clean up all this pollution. And yet we're not doing anything to change the things that actually encourage the pollution. So that doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, the Coastal Commission and the Ocean Conservancy spend a lot of money. And we see this time and time again. State issues this much money to restore X river, but we're going to let Sierra Pacific log it just above there. So the money we spent, completely useless because we did something else that added to the problem. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to do that. We have to get really organized. So we don't want to be spending all this money to organize coastal cleanup just to not address the social issues that are causing some of it.
You know, the coastal cleanup, I also do the May Day cleanup in the city of Eureka, Day of Caring. I've done them all. The problem with this, it's a one-time event. It's kind of like all those wonderful people that I have come serve at our facility on Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a wonderful way to give back, to make yourself feel good. We're doing something, but we're talking one time a year. We're talking about people that are surviving on a daily basis. If we're just going to think about we're going to be able to keep our oceans clean, our riverbeds clean, our marshes clean, and go out there one day a year, then we're kidding ourselves as much as we're telling the homeless people that you guys are the cause of it. Yeah. It's not going to happen. There's a lot of reasons why that trash is out there. And when you've done it for as long as I, like I was telling you, joking around, we become the CSI of trash. And really, I can tell you in a trash pile how long that trash pile has been there. By doing our little time dating part, we can actually say it's been there, well, 3 years or so. You know, the whole thing is here, we have to get more engaged. Our group in New Directions, the reason why we've been able to pull out almost 125,000 pounds of trash, The reason why we've relocated 42 people is because we're out there 3 to 4 days a week. We're totally respectful. We're going into areas that people live and treating it much like their house. I know it's not their house, but this is the only home they have. So we have to be respectful. And when you show that, they actually are willing to do whatever you want them to do. And once again, it's not about manipulating or cheating them. It's because you guys need a place to live. We got to teach you how to be good stewards.
And I completely agree with that. And in no way, you know, perhaps in the Palco Marsh area, some of the trash is, you know, caused by the homeless encampment. But in no way do I think that's where it's coming from. I mean, you made an excellent point.
It's a lot of illegal dumps.
Yeah.
And the homeless grab it and pull it back to their camps because they think household people throw away a lot of useful stuff that people that are surviving can use.
Right. And you made an excellent point about the cigarette butts, you know, around Arcata, or the Arcata Plaza, from people just out carousing, having a good time and just throwing their butts. I don't know if you know this, but cigarette butts are one of the main substances that you find for coastal cleanup. You know, it's one of those fine particles, but that represents about 33% of what people find when they do coastal beach beautification and cleanup. I also want to remind people that an estimated 2.3 to 3.5 million Americans experience homelessness at least once a year, and it affects people of all ages, geographic areas, occupations, ethnicities, and it affects people of color and certain ethnic origins more than others as well.
We do have to understand that we keep on pulling populations out of the homeless, big pot of homeless, and we'll pull out African-American, we'll pull out Hispanic. We pulled out the transgender just recently and protected them, and the gay and lesbian. But overall, we still have cities that say any facility that primarily deals with the homeless population has to go through a separate permitting process that no other social work agency has to go through. If you take out homeless people and put in African-American, gay, lesbian, you have a discrimination suit. So we're not even treating homelessness or homeless people as actual people.
No.
So it's a kind of a complex situation that we're working on.
It is. And I think African Americans experience something like 47% disproportionately represented among homeless children compared to 38% white and 13% Hispanic. So this is just some of the statistics. But at any rate, I wanted to close by reminding people that poverty is one of the leading indicators of whether someone will become homeless. And that's a social issue. And that is our responsibility. And like I said before, and like John Shelter has been saying this afternoon, these issues are linked to environmental issues. Primarily, in my opinion, not even just because of the direct causes like sanitation and water quality and pollution, but because of the squandering of an entire workforce that could be put to use to do so many of the environmental jobs that we need.
It's even more connected because you understand when you become homeless and you lose the four walls and the roof, you're no longer wanted inside the city limits. So you're actually forced to go to our parks, our forests, and our marsh. A lot of people don't understand that. They think these individuals are just generating out there because they want to destroy this. Instead, they're actually forced out there. And it's real hard to get back in once you are forced out there. So they are very connected. And hopefully in the next few years, we're going to get better at understanding this, because the key to our better environment is through helping the homeless.
And you pointed out, just to close, how ridiculous it is to, you know, wake somebody up at 2 a.m. and tell them they have to go somewhere, but not tell them where there is. There is no there. You just have to go somewhere else. And if I find you there, I'll wake you up again.
Yeah.
And if I find you there, and just that process of just being driven out to where?
Yeah.
We don't even know. There's no place we want them, quote unquote. And that's not true. Go come back and ask the citizenry what we think. I haven't been asked. I don't think the citizenry has been asked. And I bet if you ask them, they'd say, build a homeless shelter. Build 5 of them.
If it can be controlled by a credible agency, which I believe the North Coast Resource Center is now, we've worked from the pits of hell. We were a very misunderstood program, and we've actually earned our respect in the community. We work with a lot of high-level individuals now that are looking at different solutions. Rather than the problem, look at the solutions.
And I like that. We'll leave it on that. John Shelter, thank you so much for being with us today on the Eco News Report. It was a pleasure, and I will see you soon, and we'll be working together again.
Thank you very much for having me.
This has been the EcoNews Report. My name is Raina Nanayel, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with John Shelter, Executive Director of the North Coast Resource Center. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archive programs at khsu.org. The EcoNews Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Thanks to our engineer, Fred McLaughlin. Join us next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the EcoNews Report.